I love that game because of the photo of Scotty just carrying him off the court.
Mm-hmm.
MJ's like, get me to the fucking bench, please. Welcome to the Intentionally Foul Podcast, where nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Don't forget to go subscribe to our podcast and leave a review underneath. So, we got a lot of good things to talk about today. One of them is going to be the NBA bubble, of course, because finally, after nearly 150 days, the NBA is returning. It feels like much longer than that, though, that's for sure. We got the NHL predictions coming up because that two will be resuming pretty soon, and we have our favorite individual performances in sports history. So, what's going on, Jacob?
Honestly, it's been a nice day. I've been out walking a little bit, had a 10-piece chicken nugget, and I'm ready to go. I got a lot of energy right now.
Yeah, man. I feel you. I feel like you got a lot of positive energy right now, and I cannot say the same.
Why not?
I was just doing a delivery order that took an hour and 10 minutes to complete round trip.
That's crazy, man.
It was bullshit, man. But never again. Learn a lesson.
It's podcast time. One of the best times of the week, though. I
definitely look forward to doing that. But yeah, we need to start off with some NBA talk because that's going on right now. Anything you want to kick it off with personally?
Well, I mean, by the time people are listening to this podcast, it's going to be the start. The start will be Friday. It starts on the July 30th, basically, so tomorrow. In my opinion, title favorites, Lakers, LeBron, you have the Bucks, and you have the Clippers. Then I think that some of the threats that they have, Raptors, Celtics, Rockets, and the Nuggets.
I completely agree with that. My pick to win the championship this year is definitely going to be the Lakers, but I think it'll probably go seven games against the Bucks because okay. I think the Bucks definitely have the best odds in the East. It just kind of depends on how they play together after this huge break. I don't know if they're a team that really operates on momentum or not, and there's just been a complete lack of that recently.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the Celtics go far, of course. Not even just saying that as a Celtics fan. I always think it's fun when like a dark horse team starts making moves. You know, like let's say the Nuggets, for example, start doing something crazy.
Yeah.
You know, in the Western Conference. Speaking of the Nuggets in their game yesterday, it worked out pretty well. Bol Bol kind of went off. He had 16 points,
mm-hmm.
10 rebounds, 6 blocks, and he's getting a random drug test today.
Yeah, surprising, right?
Yeah.
But in my opinion, Jokic slimmed down. I don't know how much weight he did, but he slimmed down and he's looking so much more agile.
Yeah, he's definitely looking more agile. I've noticed some players have really been working on their weight. I think for Jokic, it's great. For Harden, I'm going to have to see because I know he slimmed down a lot, but I'm not sure if his weight kind of goes into his strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that's a factor with being able to push guys going into the paint or not. So just going to have to see how he plays.
Yeah. Talking about weight, Mo Bamba gained 30 pounds. That's going to be like a perfect thing for him. Add 30 pounds. Like he was always getting bullied in the front court. And now he's just going to be like, maybe he's the bully.
I would love to see that. I'm not giving up on Mo Bamba yet. It's pretty much just like a hype thing why people are like giving up on him. They want him to be like a beast because of that one fucking Sheck West song that came out. But
one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, you gotta wait for that to all happen, you know?
I would, my finals prediction, I think this is way too early, but I'm gonna go Lakers over Celtics in 5. For me, Tatum is the X factor for the Celtics. If he doesn't come out and compete like we all know he can, then they're not going to go very far. But if he comes out and he competes really hard and just dominates and everything, they're going to the finals.
He relies on everyone being healthy. I think the Celtics, unfortunately, able to make it pretty very far because they'll have like some games they can win during the All-Star game. And they were losing games they could have easily won. You know, with the whole team there. So you just kind of have to cross your fingers for that.
Yeah. Going on to the Lakers, I think that Anthony Davis is LeBron's best Robin. Sorry, D-Wade in 2011. But AD has been LeBron's best Robin throughout his entire career right now. And those two go perfectly together.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty close to perfect because with D-Wade, he was exiting his prime when LeBron got there. It was well past it by the time LeBron left Miami. With Kyrie, we got to see Kyrie play some of his best basketball, but I think that he gets tunnel vision sometimes, and it was more like LeBron had to force himself to be the number one guy, where it wasn't really just like a agreement or like a mutual agreement. There wasn't like, it seemed kind of forced with their duo at times. With AD and LeBron, it's like fucking peanut butter and jelly. It's perfect.
I see that 100%. And they have a lot of good supporting characters too. One of my favorite players, Alex Caruso, he's on the team. And then they also have, do they still have Green? Do they still have
Danny Green? I was going to say Danny Green is my pick for the X Factors on the Lakers. And that's only because he's been the X Factor for the Spurs in the past when they won their last championship. Even with all those great players on the team, he was a huge X factor in making those threes that, you know, can make or break a game, because a lot of, you know, playoff games are going to come down to one or two possessions. And then even just getting a few threes out of the guy to, you know, secure the lead, secure the win, expand the differential there is going to make a huge difference for the Lakers.
I agree.
But they don't have Avery Bradley, but they got JR. And Rondo is hurt, but if they make it far enough, he'll be back in time for the finals. Now, I don't think Rondo's too important in the Lakers' success, but it definitely helps to have him there.
Yeah, he definitely helps like with depth.
Yeah. For JR, I mean, look, the guy, I don't know what his deal is with defense. He's obviously worse than Avery Bradley, but if he's chucking shit up and nailing it, that's all that really matters for them, because they have so many other great defensive pieces on the Lakers. Like Caruso can lock down, Danny Green can lock down, AD can, and LeBron can. LeBron plays a lot better defense in the playoffs than the regular season, that's for sure.
I agree. I think he literally is a brick wall in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I cannot wait to see them play. It's probably my favorite Lakers team since the Pau and Kobe days. And it's been a while. They had to go through a lot of horrible years between then and now. But it's finally back. Any other teams you really want to talk about?
Yeah, let's go into the Rockets.
Okay. Houston Rockets, this is their time to shine, because whenever they got Westbrook, they said, fuck it, we need to win one right now. We got to do it right away within the next 2 years, or else this is all going to be a huge waste, giving up draft picks, tons of cap space just gone from the guy. I think they really need to try their hardest here, and it's not looking so great already, because I think both Harden and Westbrook had COVID or something like that.
I believe they both left for like family matters. Harden came back, and then just the other day, Russell came back. So they're both back, and they're ready to go. Like, I don't think there's any notable players on that team right now that isn't there.
Yeah. I think with the Rockets set up, and if they're all good to go and nothing gets in the way, they can definitely make it pretty far. The only problem is if they get matched up with Denver right away, they're a small ball team. So you have Jokic anyway, who could play center, but now he's going to play point. And then you have Bol Bol, who's way taller than PJ Tucker. They're going to throw him out there.
Yeah, I think in the front court, they're definitely mismatched, no matter who they play.
Yeah, no matter who. They definitely have the smallest front court going on right now. If they get matched up with Utah, though, they could probably win that one. It would just kind of depend on who they meet up with in the bracket.
Also, let's talk about the Heat. So, obviously, Kendrick Nunn isn't going to be there right now. He hasn't joined the team yet. You got Duncan Robinson the other day. He drops, four threes immediately. He's just a shooter, doesn't forget how to shoot, he's quoted. And then you have Tyler Hero as a backup. Like, you have a pretty good young core there in Miami, but I don't think they're going to really make any kind of like dent in the playoffs.
I know. I think this year is not their time to shine, but look out for the next couple, you know, because they're only going to get better from here if they keep everyone. I kind of wish Jimmy Butler still had that ninja headband look, because he's kind of like a sensei to all these young players, I feel like.
Yeah, didn't that just get banned?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. It makes no sense. I don't really know what the whole reason is, but Jimmy definitely rocked it. I love seeing him wear that. The Heat, though, like I've said before, I've definitely said this in a previous episode, Jimmy, he's only been in the league for just under 10 years, and by comparison, he just looks so old out there next to the young core.
And he's not even that old, too. Yeah. Like, in the general scheme of things, he's not that old.
Yeah, well, he got drafted in 2011, something like that.
Yeah.
Early 2010s, yeah. So, not, it hasn't even been around for that long, but he's teaching these guys a lot of
lessons. Yeah, do you think that if Zion doesn't come back, do you think the Pelicans will even make it into the playoffs?
No.
Just straight up.
No. He changes the whole team.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, what do they have? Josh Hart, and they have...
They have Ingram.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, most improved player, possibly.
Right. They have Ingram, and they have Lonzo, and they have Hart, and they have Zion.
That's and Redick.
And Redick for the vet support. I don't know. I think it's way too close right now for them and the Grizzlies to actually, you know, beat the Grizzlies out for that spot. I think that if Zion doesn't make it, it's... They're going to play just like they did when they didn't have him in the regular season, especially after this huge break. But if he's there, they're going to be just as good, if not better.
Mm-hmm. So to review, what's your finals prediction right now?
Finals prediction is going to be Lakers, Bucks, with Lakers winning in 7 games.
Okay. And then I got Lakers, Celtics, Lakers winning in 5.
Gotcha. I'll go even more specific with the prediction. I think... that LeBron is going to pass the ball to someone and they're going to hit a 3 to win the game, basically, or like save him, I guess. I don't think he gets saved like people make it out to be, but like a little Ray Allen or Kyrie moment is going to happen again.
Okay. Who do you think is going to be able to do it?
Caruso.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Hey, that's not a bad prediction. It's either Caruso or Danny Green, probably.
Yeah, one of those two guys. I think it'd be awesome if it happened. We'll have to see, though. So next, we got NHL predictions.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about with this?
So the qualifying rounds for the Stanley Cup begin August 1st on Saturday. There are 24 teams out of the total 31 in this tournament. Now they added another team, I believe, in Seattle, but they won't play until next year. The East will play in Toronto. The West will play in Edmonton. Top 4 teams in each conference will play in a round robin to determine seeding for them. In the East, the top 4 seeds are the Bruins. They are loaded with veteran experience, two-way play, strong goaltending with Rask. Hopefully recovers from his fractured finger that he has in his glove hand. Then you also have the Tampa Bay Lightning, Washington Capitals, and the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, we both hate their mascot. And then in the West, we have the Blues, the defending champs, the Colorado Avalanche, the Knights, and then we also have the Dallas Stars. What are you thinking about all this?
I think there's a lot of talent this year.
Yeah.
A lot of really good talent. You look at how many teams have tied this year. I mean, teams tie a lot every NHL season. But with the season standing where it is right now, a lot of close calls between a lot of teams. My favorites for the Stanley Cup, I mean, I would love a rematch of last year. I think both of those teams haven't lost any momentum from where they left off and would love to play each other again.
Yeah, I believe they were both 8-2 before the season ended in the last 10 games. So it's pretty good for both of those teams.
Right. So my prediction is going to be another Bruins-Blues matchup for that, all said and done. But I actually made a bet with one of my friends, and I picked the Bruins and then the Blues for mine, and he picked the Avalanche and the Lightning for his.
Okay.
And just to see who would meet up, you know. And like, those are our teams from different parts of the bracket, but I could very well see those two teams going far too. You know.
Yeah, my prediction for the Stanley Cup is Bruins versus the Knights, but the Bruins win in 6. I think with Chara and like all those other guys like Bergeron and my favorite player from when he played on the Wild, Minnesota Wild, Charlie Coyle, I think they're just stacked. They have veteran leadership and young core. Like, they can easily beat any team.
Right. I think those are definitely two really good teams to throw in there as well. I really do want Vegas to win a championship pretty soon.
I think they did. Didn't they win it the first year?
They went into seven games, or not really sure. They did go to the Stanley Cup, but it was against Washington.
Oh, yeah, the Capitals.
They ended up losing, and I was so disappointed. I remember watching those games and being like, oh, come on, Golden Knights. And I was looking at myself in the mirror like, what the hell? This is just some fucking random Vegas NHL team. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if they won the whole thing, like that'd be awesome.
Yeah, they just traded for a really good goalie. And so they have two really good goalies, Andre Fleury and Lehner. And if one goes down, then the other one's got them. They're both like starters. On any other team, they're both starters. So the fact that they have two solid guys like that just is a huge plus.
Yeah, what you were saying about, you know, former players from like your favorite team going to other ones, I definitely feel that way with Tyler Seguin.
Okay.
You know, I really hope that he and his team does really, really well. And plus, like, I mean, obviously the area would be ecstatic if that happened.
Yeah, Tyler Seguin is crazy good. And he's just going to lead the Stars with Ben and Pavelski. Like, they're both, all three of those guys are really solid.
Yeah, I think, you know, as odd as it may seem, trust me, Texas hockey is not as whack as you may think.
Yeah.
A lot of really diehard fans down in Texas. The only problem, though, with making these predictions is there's always that one team every year, I feel like, that does really well regular season and then just exits super early. Like, I know the Lightning last year, they were on fire, and then they were just gone out of nowhere.
You know, I'm pretty sure they got swept.
Yeah, it's nuts. That stuff always happens to someone.
I wouldn't also forget the Edmonton Oilers. They're sitting at the fifth seed right now. They would take on the second seed in the second round, in the first round after all the round robin gets taken care of. But they still have the best player in the league, Connor McDavid. They have Ryan Nugent Hopkins. They're still solid. Like, I wouldn't like put it against them to think that they're not gonna make it at least past like the second round.
Yeah, yeah, I think that'd be pretty realistic for them to make it that far. And you know, with these with sports returning and everything after the whole coronavirus break, we've never really seen anything like this in a sport since, I don't know, the NBA lockdown. You know, that was so long ago, and I mean, I don't remember a hockey lockdown really. So I think it's either going to play a huge factor or none at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like basketball where, like, there's people like Giannis and Middleton. Like, those guys haven't touched a ball in the months that the lockdown was in. But now in the NHL, I feel like you can always find a hockey rink. Like, I feel like they'd always could, like, work on their skills at home without having to have a basket.
Yeah, I feel like with basketball and, like, team practice and, you know, hockey practice, I don't know what the difference would be there if you needed to be around people. You know, which one would be more important or not. I mean, the most you can really do, or I guess the least you could do, is just kind of like do weight work or like agilities, you know, at home too.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, let's be real with ourselves. These athletes are super rich. They definitely have some access to some facility where they could practice. So in terms of that, it's just they have the equipment and everything to practice if they want to. It's just meeting up with teammates. That's kind of like, how much can you do with that? I mean, I remember LeBron, he was meeting up with, I think, up to two different Lakers players in rotations to practice with them.
Yeah, when he was first allowed back in.
Yeah, this is very early on. I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was definitely like over a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about Minnesota hockey and you talk about Dallas hockey, you can't forget that Dallas took the Minnesota's team, and Minnesota was out of hockey team for like 10 years. It just didn't feel natural, so they got the Wild. And then the Wild are going to be in the playoffs this year, but I feel like they just put them in it with a kind of like pity. Because, I mean, there's 24 out of the 31 teams, and they're like the 10th seed or something like that, and they play the Canucks. I think that they might win the first game against the Canucks, but after that, they're gone. They're a good team, but they're not solid.
Yeah, the weird thing about this year is you have like quote unquote pity teams.
Yeah.
You know, I remember people were like, oh, let's get the Wizards to get in the bubble.
I mean, they're technically playing to be seeded still.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the Wizards should have even been in the convo. Yeah. Like at all.
I don't think Bradley Beal isn't gonna be there. Or John Wall.
Then they're fucked.
Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah. It's probably one of the worst Wizards years I've seen in a very, very long time. And that's saying a lot, too, because they've had to deal with a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's up there with the Gilbert Arenas getting caught in the locker room year. For sure.
Okay. Who's going to retire first in the NHL? Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby? They're both old as hell at this point. They've been in the league for over 10 years, over 15 years.
Man, I feel like whoever gets injured first, because I think their motors are just like so strong that it's more likely they get injured before they even willingly decide to give it up.
Yeah, I feel like Sidney Crosby would get injured first because Ovechkin's got that Russian blood. He would never sit down on any fight, man. He would go out there, beat some ass, get kicked right in the knee, tear his ACL, and play the rest of the game and not give a fuck.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to him being Russian. I agree with you on that. he's pretty tough. So I guess it's going to be Crosby. And I mean, he's already done a lot. You know, they've both done so much in their careers where it's not like they have much else to prove.
Yeah.
You know, so time will tell. But yeah, I can't agree with you more on that.
Yeah. All right. You want to move on to favorite individual performances?
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking about this because I think there are so many great ones. Let's see. I got one for the NBA, which I'll kick it off with.
Okay.
It's going to be Dwayne Wade's 2006 championship performance for the Heat in the finals against the Mavs.
Okay.
So, one, the Heat are underdogs going into this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, two, they played like absolute shit for the first couple games, and everyone thought it was over. And then, after a huddle with Pat Riley, Dwayne Wade just changed something, like some switch flipped in his head, and he was dropping like 30 plus averages for the next four games. Jeez. And then just like putting the team on his fucking back. Like Shaq definitely helped.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, but even if they both played well, I don't think it would have been enough, but Wade was playing out of his mind and Shaq was playing well.
Yeah.
And they were still able to take it to six games. And even the sixth game, like it almost went to seven, you know, it was still really close.
Yeah,
so I think that's mine for basketball, I guess.
Yeah, mine. If we're gonna go into basketball, we can't talk not about the 2016 LeBron Finals run against the Golden State Warriors, 3-1 down 3-1 against a stacked Warriors team. Just somehow, I don't know. He leads them back. They win the finals. He becomes the first player in NBA history, Finals history, to lead both teams points, assists, rebounds, steals, and blocks for the entire series. And he becomes the third player in history to record a triple-double in the Game 7 of the Finals.
I feel like Game 7 and that block on Iguodala and the Kyrie shot, that whole sequence, I feel like everyone remembers where they were when they saw it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just one of those things you really don't forget.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Continuing with basketball, I got another one. Michael Jordan, flu game. And I put that in quotations, flu game, because it was later told by his trainer that it was a bad piece of bad pizza that was given to him, and he had the stomach flu or food poisoning. So everyone still calls it the flu game and everything, but he went out there, 38 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, including a 3-pointer with like less than a minute left that put him ahead.
Yeah. I don't know what it actually was, like, because I've heard hangover game too.
Yep.
And who the hell knows at this point? It's been so long since the actual game. I don't think we're ever going to find out. But I love that game because of the photo of Scottie just carrying him off the court.
Mm-hmm.
MJ's like, get me to the fucking bench, please. And Scottie's like, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I love that photo. So I totally agree with you on that one. For another NBA finals performance, gonna have to go with Magic Johnson on the Lakers when he won his first championship and Finals MVP because Kareem couldn't even play, so they had to throw Magic in for Kareem to play. You know, center, so tall, and he popped off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was a rookie too.
Yeah,
you know,
wasn't 1980?
Yeah, it was 1980, and I don't think we're ever gonna see anything like that ever again.
Yeah, I heard that's like one of the most impressive stat lines I've ever seen.
Yeah, so that's just unbeatable in my opinion. For football, I've definitely got to give it to, you know, this one was already coming, but it's going to be Brady's comeback in the Falcons Super Bowl.
Oh, shit. 28-3.
I remember with that Super Bowl, not much was going on for the first part. Obviously, it wasn't looking so great. And I don't know whether it was the Falcons' defense collapsing or if Brady was just playing that well, but he made it work super well for them to actually get back into an OT position. So look at it this way. It's the fifth ring. That's the one that everyone was waiting for, mm-hmm. So he could pass up Montana. And then two, it's the first overtime in Super Bowl history. And it'd be one thing if he lost in overtime, but he won. And that kind of adds to the resume because, fun fact, Tom Brady was the first quarterback to win an overtime college game. I think it was the Orange Bowl when he was at Michigan against Alabama and won on the very first play. That was the first overtime NCAA game ever won, And so he has both of those, and that'll never be done again because we're stuck with overtimes forever now.
Yep.
But it's just such a weird coincidence that he won both of those when they first happened.
That is very weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's why it's up there for me, just because it has a lot of context behind it.
Yeah. And continuing with college football, we got to talk about 2006 Vince Young Rose Bowl versus USC. Oh my God. I wasn't really aware of what was going on. But when he crossed that goal line and he scored the touchdown to win, oh my God. I remember just being so... I'm not a huge Texas Longhorns fan, but I wanted to watch that game because I remember it being such a huge... It had a huge historical significance to it.
Yeah, he's a Texas legend for sure. People still talk about it a lot down here.
Mm-hmm.
I got some buddies from Austin and they grew up UT fans and they still watch every year. And they're the good kind of UT fans where they're not this is our year kind of fans because they're not there yet, but they love to live on the glory days. And Vince always gets brought up.
Kind of sounds like the Green Bay Packer fans to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty good comparison, not going to lie.
But it's crazy. Vince Young, he ran 19 times for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. And I believe two point conversions. He completed 75% of his passes. That's pretty impressive for someone who at the next level didn't compete very well.
Yeah.
It's crazy the difference between college football and pro football. There's so many players DeMarcus Randall. There's been so many players that have been really good at the college level and just eat shit in the pros. Almost every USC quarterback besides Carson Palmer.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good observation. We still got to see what happens with Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it really just the O-line or is he seeing ghosts?
I don't know.
Is it both? I don't know.
It could be.
Yeah, who knows? I don't even know what happened to Southern California quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, well, Matt Leinart was average for the Cardinals. I mean, what are the other ones? They had... the Titans quarterback. Who's the Titans quarterback?
Currently?
No, one that went from USC.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. We should be able to remember off the top of our heads, but we can't,
True.
I mean, they got to work on that. They got to work on that. But I totally agree with you on that one. As far as NCAA championship performances, my favorites, I'm probably going to have to go with Deshaun Watson's Clemson victory. Because, look, everyone... rooting for Clemson to just fucking pull the upset. We can't see this happen.
Yeah.
And one of the most clutch moments I've ever seen was just that final touchdown and snatched all hope out of Crimson Tide fans' hearts.
Yeah.
And no one thought it would happen. I mean, some people did, of course, but definitely the underdogs going into that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that Alabama football has always been really good. And that year especially, they were really good.
Yeah. And what I don't get is how Watson fell so far after that game.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to me. I know we've talked about this already, but bro, what did Trubisky even do at UNC?
I don't know. I heard reports that he was showing pretty good accuracy and power and shit. And they really liked how he was mobile in the pocket. That's about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we all know how that played out.
Yeah. So, speaking of last second touchdowns, we got to talk about the Minneapolis Miracle. Honestly, one of the happiest moments in my entire life. Divisional round 2018, and Oh my God. So Diggs wasn't doing that well. I mean, he was playing average, but he had 6 receptions, 137 yards, and 1 touchdown. The only one that really, really mattered in the end. And he outplayed Michael Thomas that day. Mm-hmm. Like, that moment for Vikings fans, you know, after 2009, what the Saints did and shit, every victory against the Saints just sticks their foot right back into their ass, man. They did so much shit to the Vikings in 2009 that every victory that the Vikings get from now on against the Saints in the playoffs is just going to keep adding more and more. And it honestly will never make up for what the Saints did.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a good point to make for sure. I didn't even think about like the prior history. I was too focused on like the current games that have happened. But
yeah.
Dude, we all want it to happen again next year. The Vikings beating the Saints.
It has to.
On the last play of the game. Oh, man. I remember watching that game with you, the one from this year, and then just being so happy. And, yeah. But there's always going to be Saints fans. They're like, oh, he pushed off.
Yeah.
I can't stand that shit. But, no, I'd like that. I like that game for Diggs, too. You know, it's like, it's kind of not how you start, but how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the NHL goes, I can't pinpoint this to a single game, I guess, but you remember when Tim Thomas was the Bruins goalie?
Yeah, 2011, I think.
Yeah, he was fucking lights out, like, yeah. That whole series, and yeah. He just, and without him, the Bruins don't win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I saw that one earlier, I was like, damn, that is fucking impressive.
Yeah, he was a brick wall, for sure. that's definitely mine, and I mean, obviously, because it's going to be the Bruins, I need to get on to like having a, like I like to follow more than one team, you know, in most sports, but hockey, I'm still kind of working on it.
Yeah, I feel that way too. Even though I'm from Minnesota, I mean, the Wild really haven't been like really good, but they've been like good. And most people from Minnesota, like they'll watch the Vikings for sure. Like they'll watch the Gophers for sure. But like when it comes to the Wild and Twins, it's iffy. It has to be a really successful season for them to watch.
Yeah, I get that. For my second team, the front runners at the moment are the Mighty Ducks or...
Oh, shit.
Or the Golden Knights, as we were just talking about. Yeah, for baseball, once again, it's a Boston one. Big surprise. But Big Poppy's 2004 performance for, you know, the Sox when they... reverse the curse.
Yeah.
Just because of all the context behind it. You know, and I really can't pinpoint it to one exact game either. Because, I mean, everyone was so great to watch. But, yeah, that would definitely be that's the most memorable one for me.
Mm. Did you know that he was a Twins player?
Oh, Big Poppy?
Yeah.
No, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a Twin. He got drafted by the Twins and played there for like 3 years or so. And then they traded him to Boston.
Right. Yeah, this is just like, so early. I mean, that was probably like the second or so year I remember like actually watching baseball. You know, that's kind of funny though. Yeah, but I got one more for NBA and then I'll let you finish out if you got any more. But okay. Tim Duncan versus the Nets. This is going to be, yeah, this is 2003. It was game 6 and the motherfucker almost gets a quadruple double.
Jesus.
He was 2 blocks away from securing it, and people have gone back to like rewind the tape and see if he got hoed on any blocks. And I think there was one that just straight up didn't get counted, and then there was one that they incorrectly like awarded to Robinson when that happened. And there's been no change to this day, but if you look it up, there's going to be people that say Tim Duncan unofficially had a quadruple double in the NBA finals in a closing game, which is like, are you fucking kidding me, man?
That's like, fucking impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all I got for mine.
Damn. Dude, yeah, Duncan was a fucking legend. But I have two more Minnesota Viking ones that I'd really like to talk about. So they're not really in the championship series, but I think that they're two, like, one of the biggest individual performances in NFL history. Adrian Peterson breaking the rookie record, most rushing yards against the San Diego Chargers at the time. 296 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 253 of the 296 in the second half alone, breaking an NFL record. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I definitely miss watching him at that level. You know, yeah. I still root for him today, you know, because I feel like everyone fell in love with AP when all that happened.
Yeah, and then after his 2012 season where he won the MVP, like, he slowly got worse after that. But, like, he was really good for his MVP season, but because he tore his ACL and stuff like that, it just caught up to him eventually.
Yeah, my theory on that is he recovered really well from the injury itself, but maybe he recovered too well too quickly. Mm. Like, he was putting too much energy into it to come back, like, 110%, that it just kind of drained the next few seasons for him over time, yeah. If that makes any sense. But
oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, plus, maybe he was hitting, like, the very end of his prime anyway that you would see for any running back, like, you know, ACL tear or not. Like, I mean, we've been taking shits all over Ezekiel Elliott since this podcast started. And I think we're seeing the same thing with him. But he hasn't really had, like, you know, an ACL injury or anything like that.
Yeah, I feel that. And the last one, probably one of the best wide receivers of all time. Best wide receiver in Minnesota Vikings history. Randy Moss, Thanksgiving versus the fucking Cowboys, 1998. Three receptions, three touchdowns, 163 receiving yards.
The graphic for that, and, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the photo of him, like, it's him
getting
and then
mossed.
The stat line. Okay, that's so badass. I gotta watch that game later.
Dude.
At least the highlights.
I'm pretty sure it was, like, his first or second year in the league. He's just tearing the Cowboys up. The Dynasty Cowboys at this time, 98.
Yeah, and it's Thanksgiving, too, so you know they're playing their ass off because, I mean, everyone takes the Thanksgiving game seriously. It's, like, super serious. It's just it's something that you got to go all out for. And, yeah, I give the guy a lot of credit for doing that so early on in his career.
Yeah, fucking legend, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Go follow us on all our personal social medias. Follow us on Instagram at Intentionally Foul. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.